And welcome to another episode of The Functional Nerds. My name is Patrick Hester. I'm an author, a blogger, and an all-around functional nerd. And tonight, John Anilio is going to sing a brand new song for us that no one's ever heard before. Take it away, John.
I wasn't ready. You totally put me on the spot. I am John. It's always like, I notice half time my intros, Patrick is laughing through half of what I'm saying most of the time. But anyway, I am John. I write songs about science fiction and fantasy and other nerdy things. Tonight we have a real nice interview with Tim Akers.
So you're not going to sing?
No, not right now. I'll save my singing for another time. Tonight we have an interview with Tim Akers. He's the author of The Horns of Ruin, a new book out from Pyre. And I very much enjoyed the book, and I very much enjoyed the interview we did with him. So I hope you enjoy it too. And on the line we have with us tonight, Tim Akers. Tim is the author of The Horns of Ruin, a new novel from Pyre Books. We're happy to have him on the show. So, Tim, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Now, Tim, is this your debut novel, or have you have any other books out there yet?
No, actually. My first novel was The Heart of Viridon by it came out from Solaris last summer, so 2009, August 2009. It was that book that got me in with Pyre. Solaris is a British company. And they distribute in both the U.S. and the U.K., but it was a little hard to get a hold of in the U.S., but Lou read it and essentially made an offer based on that book. He and I had talked at World Fantasy and World Con, and he and I had been talking about maybe doing something at some point, and he really enjoyed Heart of Viridon and said, do you have anything else? And I said, well, yes, of course, I have many other things that I will now pull out of my ass, and did so, and sold him Horns of Ruin, just sort of on a proposal, and nice. Then I'm actually finishing the second book in the Viridon series right now, and that'll come out in June.
Is that also going to be Empire?
No, the second Viridon book is going to be Solaris also.
Gotcha.
I have book one, series one. Horns of Ruin is book one, series two, potentially. And then I'm writing book two, series one. did you follow that?
Yes, I did. I got all that. Now, I do have a couple questions for you. The first question I have is that the Horns of Ruin, it's written in first person, and the main character is female.
Correct.
And I would really like to hear why you decided to make what I would think is a pretty unusual choice to sort of write first person a different gender. What led you to that decision?
Part of it was stylistic. I don't really write that well in third person. I mean, that's not true. I used to write it in third person. And a lot of this goes back to the first book, The Heart of Viridon book, that I wrote in third person, the first half of it, and then stopped and rewrote it all in first person, and I was able to find the voice better that way. The timing on Horns of Ruin was a lot tighter for me, so I went right back into that first person mode.
It can be very comfortable.
It's very easy to write. Yeah. It's also very easy to write when you're doing sort of a thriller kind of plot, because you don't have to make excuses as to why a character doesn't know something, because you're not showing the reader anything other than what that character sees. So it's a lot easier to keep things hidden and to move the plot forward. As far as the female gender as opposed to the male, that was something where I was sort of challenging myself. And to be honest, I don't think I did a perfect job. I feel that that was an experiment that, while it was partially successful, I feel like I could have done a lot better on it. So that's something that I'm kind of working on. sort of see how that goes as we move forward.
One of the things that a lot of people are worried about is when they're writing a female character is that they essentially take a male character and add, you know, female genitalia.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't think you did that.
Well, thank you. That was not my intention. So
she doesn't come off as a masculine female character, in other words.
Right. Well, you get two things when that happens. You get people who make masculine female characters, as you say, or who over-girlify their girls. They make them do silly things that women don't actually do, but men think women do.
Whoa. You telling me that they don't actually do the stuff that I think they do?
Yes, that is entirely accurate.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah. Yeah. Patrick's wrong on there.
My world is shattered.
It's a horrible, horrible thing. No, but so that's sort of a difficult thing to do. And I was worried about being able to get it done right. And I think I did okay, but I don't think I did great at it. So, but no one is harsher on me than me.
Well, that's usually the best way to be. Yep. The next question I have for you, Tim, is and I have no idea what your background is in this is, and this is just purely a thought that I had while I was reading it. And I was wondering if in your youth or even as an adult, if you spent much time playing Dungeons and Dragons or some kind of role-playing game or video games, because and the reason why I thought that you might, and maybe you haven't, is because and a lot of the sort of the battle scenes or the fight scenes, there was a lot of sort of calling on invocations for strength or for different sort of powers or skills or something. So I was wondering about that because I didn't really play any D&D or role playing game. I played some video games as a kid, but not really so much in the D&D. And it just sort of struck me as maybe that's something that was in your background. And I was wondering if it is, and if it's not, where do you think that kind of part of the book comes from?
Yeah, actually, that is very strongly in my background. My first writing jobs in college were for a company called White Wolf Game Studios.
Oh, yes, that's Mer Lafferty worked there, too.
Yeah, exactly. I was a freelancer for them for 2 or 3 years, and there was a period in my life where I thought that I wanted to be a game designer pretty much full-time. I stopped doing that about 10 years ago because I figured out I wasn't very good at it. But yes, role-playing games are very much part of my background and part of my growing up, mostly because I think it's a great way to tell a good story as a group, as opposed to just rolling dice. So, yeah, that's something that really figures pretty heavily into my life. And actually, the conversation that we're having right now is being done on my Ventrilo set, and I had to break into a game of World of Warcraft to talk to you guys. So.
That reminds me that leads right into my questions. So your main character Eva is a Pally.
It's Ava, by the way.
Ava.
Not that it matters.
Ava. Sorry.
That's quite all right. Both are correct. You just have to decide when you're writing the book which one it's going to be.
Gotcha. Now, she's a Pally.
Correct.
I admit fully that I tried to finish the book in time for this interview, and I wasn't able to do that. So my question is, at any point in the book, does she bubble hearth?
No. No. It's... you know, I actually pull more of the D&D paladins than I did the World of Warcraft paladins. Though if you have to, you know, say which one she is, she's a Rhett Pally.
That was going to be my next question. What was her spec?
Yeah, she's a Rhett Pally. And there actually is a Rhett Pally named Ava Forge that I have as a bank on some server. I can't remember which one it is.
Yeah, I have a 66 Pally on Earthen Ring.
Yeah, I have two mains. One's a troll hunter. My wife and I play together.
I love the troll hunter.
I'm sorry?
I love the troll hunter.
Yeah, me too. That's a great thing.
Absolutely.
You know, berserk and stuff. And then actually I have a guild of writers on a different server that I'm not going to tell you which one it is.
I am aware of your writers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm fully aware. I'm not in it because I try to avoid World of Warcraft.
That's a good idea. It takes a lot of time.
It does. It takes more time than I have to devote to it.
It's my third job, essentially.
Because you have two mains. I have, let's see. I have my undead mage, who's 60-something. I have my paladin, who's 60-something. I have a tauren druid, a troll hunter. I have a dwarf hunter. I can go on and on and on and on and on. It's just ridiculous. I had altitis for a very long time.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you know, I know this is called the Functional Nerds Podcast, but like I didn't understand almost anything that you guys were just talking about for like the past couple of minutes.
But what's funny is there are a lot of our listeners know exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure they do. Well, you know, it brings up a question too, because I think the reason why I remember playing a game of D&D once when I was in high school with some friends. And I just didn't get into it. I don't know if it was just like a bad dungeon master and like it just kind of turned me off to it. And then, you know, in terms of like World of Warcraft and all that stuff, I just never got into it. I was more interested in like, being attractive to women. And, you know,
you were too cool. You were too cool, then.
No, I was not cool. It was more of an attempt to be cool. And I'm interested in it now, but, you know, of course it's hard to find the time now, but I wanted to ask what is sort of the definition of a paladin? Because certainly it's not just from Dungeons and Dragons and World of War. What would sort of be the definition of a paladin then?
So a paladin would be, medieval era.
Holy warrior.
Yeah, it's a holy warrior, essentially. I mean, it is a knight who has taken vows and is it's the military branch of the church. So
I see. Well, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, because that kind of leads into the next question that I had for you. And I know The Horns of Ruin, it's being marketed as a steampunk book. And, you know, there are certainly elements of that there. I don't think that's necessarily a misconception, but to me, the book is much more about religion and sort of this world that you built up with the gods there. And I think I found the book difficult at first. For the first 100 pages or so, I really it took a while to get into the world. I think the books that I read prior to this were a vampire book and a Star Wars book. So right there, when you're dealing with like vampires and Star Wars, there's like a lot of, you know, all right, I know what vampires are. I know what Star Wars is. So it's easy to get into it. Whereas this, you really built up quite a back history with the gods. And I think you explain all the things with the gods and the religious aspect of it really well. And the question that I wanted to ask is in your bio in the book, it says that your dad was a theologian. And I would really love to hear about that and how that influenced, because I would imagine it influenced at least your work in this book in terms of building up the religion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I grew up in a very, very evangelical background. My dad, like I said, is a theologian, and I was raised in part, at least, to be kind of an apologist. I went to relatively religious elementary school, and my college education is also evangelical.
I escaped before high school.
Well, see, and then I spent 10 years as an atheist, 10, 15 years as an atheist, and then came back to some kind of religious faith. It's sort of complicated, but I do attend services of some nature on a weekly basis. The idea of theology is very important to me, and theological thinking and theosophical thinking are sort of central to the way that I approach life. But you know, the way that religion influences culture, and the way that culture influences religion, and how they both sort of play together as history makers is very fascinating to me. My dad's actual specific background is in church history and the role that the church played in various significant historical events. His dissertation was on the role of the church in the Civil War. And so I think when normal kids were having conversations with their dad about sex or how cars work or anything, my father and I would talk about theology. Mm-hmm. And so that's something that I can talk about very easily, very extensively, and in great detail. When I say that, I don't mean just, you know, Western theology. I have a real knack for the Mesoamericans, and sort of Druidism, all you know, are very, very interesting to me, both mentally and emotionally. So yeah, that plays into everything that I write. The Viridon series, which you guys haven't read, but you know, the nature of that's a thriller about the nature of belief. The Horns of Ruin I wrote kind of with the intention of thinking about what it means to be godly in a godless world. And the next book, which is next series, which is not really in anything more than note form right now, started out as a meditation on evil, on the nature of evil. But I like taking these kind of lofty ideas and putting them in very, you know, noirish or violent or exciting stories. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to write didactically. I want to write big ideas in very, you know, gritty settings and grim settings.
Well, and that's you know, and that's I think that's one of the reasons why I found the book a challenge in the beginning, was because I think oftentimes in fantasy and even science fiction to a certain extent, I think when they use religion, it's often you know, sort of based on, if not directly, you know, sort of more of the Greek and Roman kind of gods, you know, yeah, where they have like, oh, these gods, and they do silly things, and like, but they have power.
There are a lot of series that take almost a, I don't want to say a parody, but what they'll do is they'll have, you know, a form of religion that is very similar to something that we already understand and know.
Sure, sure. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, I think in The Horns of Ruin, I feel like it builds in terms of kind of revealing what the religion is, and it's not like, oh, here are our Greek gods and this is the world we live in, or this is our you know, this is sort of our stand-in for Christianity and this is our stand-in for Islam, go, you know. And I think that's, I like reading books like that too, but I think, you know, there's a real unique take on religion in this that I found very satisfying once I got, you know, into the book, once I got quite a bit into it. And then when I sort of saw the blurb in the back that your dad was a theologian, it kind of made a little more sense to me. And
see, what's interesting, I didn't have a problem with it.
Finish the book yet.
I didn't finish the book yet, but I also, I mean, I just fell right in. I mean, it flows very naturally.
Like I said, I think it's more of like, so the previous books that I read, and Tim, I wanted to touch on something that you brought up in terms of whether, you know, religion's very interesting to me as well. I'm not religious whatsoever. I come from a very religious background as well, but it is, whatever you want to talk about, what faith is or not, religion is important to our culture, into our history, and you kind of can't escape it in a lot of ways, especially if you're teaching some sorts of history. Like I'm a music teacher, and I teach elementary school. And even though there is very much a separation of church and state, you know, even if you're just teaching music, you cannot get away from religion's significance in the development of music. You cannot. Because if you ever want to talk about Bach or Mozart or Beethoven, every classical composer was writing religious music. Correct. And then if you get into American music, when you're getting into you know, blues and folk and anything else, you know, a lot of American music is, you know, hymns, you know, that were then changed and combined with different things. So I think especially in fantasy, there's a lot of room to sort of play with these religious ideas, and I wish there was kind of a way to market that a little more about your book, because I didn't really hear that mentioned in any of the sort of the marketing of The Horns of Ruin. It was like, oh, cool new steampunk book, and I think that kind of undersells it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, that's a marketing thing.
Of course.
Prometheus, or I'm sorry, Pyre, I don't know if you know this or not, but Pyre is an imprint of Prometheus Books, and Prometheus is a very humanist, scientific imprint. Like their goal is to, you know, is to promote humanism, which is fine. I consider myself a humanist, but I don't think that if I went to them and said, here's a book about religion, that they would really want to approach it as that. That's not saying anything about Prometheus as in a bad way, certainly. It's just, you know, that's not really their specific interest.
Sure. I understand.
So anyway.
Yeah. Well, you know, so
Before you go on, I just want to throw out there, I don't know if you ever knew, my dad actually went through the seminary to become a priest.
Oh, congratulations. That's exciting.
He didn't finish.
Yeah.
He got, you know, obviously because I'm here. But he got all the way to the end, and for whatever reason, he never took his vows, and he never talked about it.
Yeah, he could be an Episcopal priest, and in fact, a bunch of Episcopals have left the Episcopal Church and are now joining the Catholic Church and are married, and they're now changing the way that Catholic priests are viewed and how they're viewing marriage. It's kind of a big thing. Like, people aren't really paying attention to it, but there is a branch of the Catholic Church, or is about to be a branch of the Catholic Church, where priests can be married. So.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah. Well, Tim, so now you said the Horns of Ruin, I guess, has been out for a little while now, a month or two, I guess, at this point, maybe a little more than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. About 3. Okay, so what's coming up next for you? You said you're writing. What's coming out next? Yeah.
Yeah. The next book is Dead of Viridon. It is the second book in the Viridon series. It's coming out from Solaris in June of this year.
Okay. And when is – now you said there is going to be a book 2 in the Horns of Ruin.
I have no idea about that. I have not submitted a proposal to them. They've not asked for a proposal. We'll see. I may submit something. I don't know. Beats
me. Okay. Great. Now, do you have any kind of short stories or anything like that people can check out as well?
I stopped writing short stories a long time ago, and that's just a matter of time. I have a day job and a World of Warcraft addiction and stuff. So,
it really piles up.
Yeah,
I mean, that's why I talk about not playing. I don't play World of Warcraft, but nor have I deleted my account.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's still there. You can always join in.
My main on the Horde side is still the guild leader.
Yeah. See. Yeah. It's always possible.
Yeah. Well, Tim, that's great. Thanks so much for coming to talk. I really was looking forward to talking to you because, you know, I really kind of like talking about the deeper stuff sometimes, and I felt there was like a lot of meat here. So it was not what I was expecting when I started reading the book, and I really thoroughly enjoyed it. So thanks very much for coming on the show and talking to me.
Before you completely let him go, I did want to throw out there, you know, once again, absolutely gorgeous book cover.
Oh, yes. Thank you. I was very happy with that. The guy's name is Benjamin Carr, and he's French. And
then screw it.
Well, the hell with that. No, he does a lot of video game covers, and I don't know that that's why they chose him, but that certainly was an influence on it. So, yeah, cool. I was very happy with that.
I really liked the cover. I thought that was pretty cool.
Cool.
Great. Well, Tim, why don't you throw out your website and Twitter?
His website is Blogspot. I don't like Blogspot.
Yeah, it is a Blogspot. I apologize. It's shadoth.blogspot.com. That's Shadoth. I talk about pointless things, but I do talk.
And what's your Twitter handle if people want to follow you there?
At Tim Akers.
Okay, great. TimAkers.
That's correct.
Well, Tim, thanks so much for joining us tonight. Really appreciate it. Good luck with the book, and I look forward to reading more of your stuff.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Follow him on Twitter. He gives you a thumbs up.
I do.
All right. See you later, everybody.
Great. Thanks a lot.
And we're back. Well, hope you enjoyed that interview. I know I sure did. So go check out Tim's book, The Horns of Ruin. This week, as always, you can get my music for a pay what you want price over at johnanilio.bandcamp.com, and you can follow me at twitter.com/johnanilio. You can also follow me or friend me up at Facebook. I've actually been using Facebook a little bit more these days. I'm still on Twitter a little more, but I'm trying to kind of get back into Facebook because I kind of realized that most, you know, kind of regular folks are on Facebook rather than Twitter. So I'm like, oh, I'm kind of ignoring this whole group of people that I'm friends with here. So
it's all the people that when you say you're on Twitter, they go, oh, I don't understand Twitter.
Yeah, well, let's not like make a caricature of the people that I'm friends with. but anyway, I've actually kind of been enjoying using Facebook the last week or so. You know, I don't think it'll replace Twitter for me, but it's something that I've kind of been enjoying. So friend me up there if you're on Facebook as well. I don't have any new tunes out this week, but one thing that I am going to be doing, and by the time this airs, I guess I'll be underway with it, is there is this thing called the RPM Challenge, which is Record Production Month, and it's sort of like NaNoWriMo for music. You're supposed to record an album's worth of music in a month. And I did this actually a couple years ago, 2 years ago, and I think I got two songs in, but so it's not so much, I don't really care about coming up with an album's worth of stuff. It's just kind of an excuse to sort of work on some things. And I have about 7 or 8 half finished songs, that, you know, they're sort of past their due date of me wanting to work on them, because I wrote some of them like a year ago, or wrote half of them a year ago. So my plan is to sort of do simple versions of these 7 or 8 songs, finish writing them and record them. And I'm actually, sort of asking a couple of folks to help me write the lyrics. So Patrick's going to help me out with one of them, I think. And I have a couple of other surprise guests that are going to be helping me out with some of the lyrics as well. So that's kind of what I got going on, or going to be having going on pretty soon. So you'll see some new music from me throughout February. And I hope at the end of the month or in the beginning of March to have sort of a live-ish acoustic sounding set of music. So that's what I got going on in the music world. Patrick, what are you doing these days?
Well, I just clicked on the #SOTU hashtag for the State of the Union. Boy, was that a mistake. That had my tweet deck just running like crazy because there were so many billions of updates per second, so I had to kill that column.
I see.
But apparently, the president is speaking.
I see. Gotcha.
But I don't know. But I, something tells me that what Seb Silver is putting on Twitter is not actually what.
Probably.
I can't prove that for sure, but something about it, you know, like respect good teachers, stop tempting the fugly ones with teenage boys. I don't think the president actually said that.
Probably not. I think that's a fabrication on Curtis's part.
It could be. Yes, it could be.
Yeah. So.
But since Curtis does use Twitter for what he calls silly stuff, I think it's entirely possible that that is pulling my leg.
I see.
What do I have going on? I'm you know, the TV season is back in full swing, and so I've started writing some recaps again. But I'm kind of not like, sorry, Curtis, not giving them to Technorati. I'm just giving them to SF Signal. And the only reason I do that is because, you know, you kind of feel the love over at SF Signal, and you kind of don't
over, I got you,
at other spots. So, you know, it's like people actually comment and talk to me, and
yeah,
there's a conversation going on. So
I got you.
So I got that going. I did the TV genre SmackDown, Batman versus the Green Hornet, two 1960s series, you know, kind of going head to head there. That was kind of cool. I still owe John Ottinger a podcasting post over on Grasping for the Wind that he really wants me to give him. And it's exploded into this huge, massive, like 3,500 word post that I know no one's ever going to want to read. So I have to do something about that for him. ATFMB still has stuff going, you know. Clifton Hill and I are close to launching our webcomic.
Mm-hmm.
What we're calling Cat Bites. We're very close to that. That's probably going to come in February.
Awesome. Looking forward to that.
That's hopefully that's going to be cool.
Yeah.
He's got some great artwork, and of course, you know, my smart ass sense of humor comes through in the characters. So, other than that, you know, I got nothing.
Yeah. Oh, you know, the other thing I wanted to mention is I did a video review for the Functional Nerds website, and that's something I'm kind of playing around with. I figure I'm reading these books for the interview, so I'm like, well, I don't want to write a review because that's work. I'll get in front of the camera and babble about it for 2 or 3 minutes and see if people like it. So I'm going to experiment with that. I did one and I was happy with the way it came out. So I plan on doing some more and seeing how it goes. It's not a big time suck. So I'm going to try it for a little while unless it's just like no one cares about it at all. But so that was kind of fun to put together. And that brings up the point.
You said sucks.
I know. The other thing that I wanted to mention to people is a lot of people probably are subscribed to the podcast through iTunes. I know that's how I subscribe to podcasts. But if you have a minute, go to the functionalnerds.com site and subscribe to the RSS feed in your e-reader and your Google reader or whatever you use, because we are starting slowly rolling out more content for the actual website. So you're going to see some video reviews from me. You're going to see a comics post from Kate Sherrod.
She already has one up. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, and we're talking to more and more people, and people are sort of preparing their posts, and you're going to start seeing some book reviews and some music reviews and
news.
Yeah, and so we're going to see more and more stuff, and it'll slowly be rolling out. But subscribe to it. Hopefully, we'll have new content every day at some point. It'll be weekly for right now, but hopefully, the more and more people that want to write some stuff for us, and you'll get more and more content. So subscribe to it in your RSS.
And we might give it a facelift.
Yeah, sure.
Slightly. Sure. Just a little bit.
Yeah, well, it looks good. So
it does, but we might just do a little bit more.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, everybody, I hope everyone has a good week. Next week, we should be having, I believe, Sherry Priest. So that's very exciting. I'm almost done with her book now, and it's great. So I'm really looking forward to chatting with her and lots of cool folks through February, March. I have us booked up right now all the way up to April pretty much. So
Wow. Lots
of cool folks coming up. So
don't jinx yourself again.
No, I'm gonna hold off on some names right now. So we'll leave it at that. But anyway, well, everyone, have a good week. Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Hello. Is there anybody in there? Just not if you can hear me. Is there anyone at home? Come on now. I hear you're feeling down. Feel like you need your pain. Get you on your feet again. Relax, I need some information first. Just the basic facts. Can you show me where it hurts? There is no pain, you are receding. A distant ship smoke on the horizon. You're only coming through. Waves. Your lips move, but I can't hear what you're saying.